Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Center of American Progress Action Fund press call on the future of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Megan Smith with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And as you know, the United States Senate is expected possibly in the next several weeks to determine whether Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed in 2010 or if it remains on the books as a law. We've heard a lot in recent days about the anticipated Pentagon study that is expected on December 1st. And so as we pause to observe Veterans Day this week and lawmakers are gearing up for the last priorities of this Congress, we wanted to take a moment to discuss briefly where the Don't Ask, Don't Tell discussion stands. Joining us today from the Center for American Progress Action Fund is Senior Vice President for External Affairs, Winnie Stackelberg, as well as Senior Vice President of National Security and International Policy, Rudy De Leon. Winnie is the head of outreach for CAPAF, and her experience with this issue includes 11 years with the Human Rights Campaign. She's also served at the Office of Management and Budget for multiple presidents and formulated and reviewed healthcare policies and budgets for HHS in the past. Rudy's experience includes serving as a former senior U.S. Department of Defense official, and he served as staff director on Capitol Hill as well. At this time, I'll turn it over to Winnie Stackelberg for her remarks.
Great. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We're in a solid position to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell in this lame duck session. I want to make 3 points to back that assertion up. The White House, Senator Reid, and the Pentagon have all, in the last couple of days, reaffirmed their commitment to doing so. Lame duck may be longer than most people are anticipating. And the Pentagon's report on Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be released no later than December 1st, providing senators ample time to review the report. Yesterday, the White House signaled its full support for Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, saying that the administration opposes bringing up the defense authorization bill without the repeal language in it. Senator Reid committed again to Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal and promised to bring up the defense authorization bill to the floor. And Secretary Gates, for the first time over the weekend, said that he would like to see Congress repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell before the end of the year. As I said, the second point is that we believe lame duck may be longer than many predict. Congress has to pass a CR and deal with expiring tax cuts. We anticipate that these issues will take longer than most people anticipate. A longer lame duck increases the likelihood of passing a defense authorization bill with Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal in it. Congressional leaders are likely to bring up the defense authorization bill for a vote because it contains important military provisions, including pay raises for the troops, veterans benefits, and it has been passed for every Congress for the past 48 years. Finally, senators have all expressed their desire to hear from the Pentagon and will get the chance to do so during the lame duck session. We have, by our count, and have just released a study of this today, numerous senators, we count 10, have declared that they want to hear from the Pentagon before they take a position on Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. The Pentagon study, as I said, is coming out on or before December 1st. The timing provides senators an opportunity to review the report alongside passing the defense authorization bill. And early evidence from this report indicates repeal can be implemented. And Gates's comments over the weekend, I think, suggest that the study and alignment with the legislative process will be positive. Finally, the repeal language that was voted on by the House in May and by the Senate Armed Services Committee in May as well, the repeal language not only requires certification from the President, Secretary of Defense Gates, and Admiral Mullen, but also includes a 60-day congressional review period that will occur thereafter. Given all of this, we feel that there is a solid chance of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the lame duck, and I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Rudy De Leon.
Well, thank you. I would just like to note that over the last 48 years, the Defense Authorization Bill has become one of the most important legislative pieces. It's an annual bill. It includes pay and benefits for our servicemen and women, their medical programs. It also has been the vehicle for the enactment of procurement reforms and then oversight of the O&M accounts. So it's been a very important annual process. It's the only authorization bill that regularly is passed by the Congress. So I think that's one point to note. Second, during this post-election session, the lame duck session, it's going to be important both to do the floor debate in the Senate and then to conference the House and Senate on the bill. And then finally, I think that it's important to note how the actual legislation is constructed, as my colleague just mentioned, that basically there is, upon enactment, a certification required from the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs in terms of the good order and discipline of the troops. And then there is a 60-day review period that allows Congress to fully examine all of the implications, to conduct hearings, and to review this thoroughly. So with the Congress coming back next Monday, as they start working through their agenda, passage and consideration of the Defense Authorization Bill should be and remain one of their key priorities.
Operator, at this time we would like to open the floor to questions from media.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Chris Johnson with Washington Blade.
Hi there. Winnie, I believe you said you have 10 senators who said they would be willing to vote for repeal if they had an opportunity to review the Pentagon Working Group report. I was wondering if you can identify these 10 senators for me.
I think what I said is that we have 10 senators who said that before they want to take a look at what the study and the report say. So they've said they want to hear from the troops and military leaders before deciding on Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. Now, some of them, like Senator Scott Brown, who had an opportunity to vote for repeal in the Senate Armed Services Committee, didn't do so. But others like Senator Judd Gregg, Senator Voinovich, Senator Snow, Senator-elect Manchin have said that they would like to hear from the troops and hear from the Pentagon before taking a position on repeal.
Can you identify all 10?
Senator Brown, Senator Graham, Senator Gregg, Senator-elect Kirk, Senator-elect Manchin, Senator McCain, Senator Pryor, Senator Snow, Senator Voinovich, and Senator Webb. And as I said, some of these had opportunities to vote for or against repeal in either the House or the Senate Armed Services Committee, but each of them took the opportunity to say that notwithstanding their no votes, they wanted to see the complete assessment before Congress moves forward, and we believe that this gives them an opportunity to do so.
I see that Senator McCain is among the senators you cited there. How realistic do you think it is that he would vote to move the NDAA to the Senate floor and move and vote for its passage even after the Pentagon report is complete? Do you think he's just saying that now as an excuse for his no vote, and he'll continue to vote no matter what happens?
Well, I think he will continue to vote no on repeal. I think it's a question about whether he will obstruct and stand in the way of passage of a defense authorization bill, a bill that he has cared about for years to come.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take the next question now.
Your next question comes from the line of Ed O'Keefe with Washington Post.
Guys, you remain confident that this is going to happen, but with that 60-day review period, if you really wanted to get it done during the lame duck, you would have had to have handed out copies 2 weeks ago. So what makes you think that there aren't going to be Republicans who say, wait, give us the 2 months, and then you're into a Republican Congress, and then you don't have an authorization bill, right?
Well, no, the way that the legislation works is that basically it restores to the Secretary of Defense, upon his certification, the authority for the rules on good order and discipline that were enacted in 1993.
Yep.
Now, when the Secretary of Defense certifies under the legislative provision, Congress then has 60 days to review and to take whatever actions they wish to take. That was a
provision. That's after they vote?
Yes. So that's after the bill is enacted. So the legislation is drafted, does not repeal the don't ask, don't tell upon signature by the president. It gives the Secretary of the Defense the authority, after having done his study, to implement the review based on his certification. And once the Secretary of Defense certifies, along with the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, there is then a 60-day period before that decision goes into effect.
So they could still railroad it then?
Well, the 60 days was created for Congress to have time to review and for Congress to...
After those 60 days, do they have to take another vote? Let's put it that way.
After 60 days, then the certification of the Secretary of Defense is applicable.
Okay.
All right, let's take the next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Lisa Mascaro with Tribune Newspaper.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I just had two questions. One, can you just talk briefly about the state of play in this effort to strip the provision from the bill and bring the bill, you know, the defense authorization bill to the floor without it? Beyond what we've seen from Senator McCain, I mean, how widespread do you think that movement is getting right now? And secondly, can you just address what the prospect is moving forward? If there, despite the optimism that you're showing of getting something done in the lame duck, if it's not completed now, what does the outlook look like with a Republican House and a narrower majority in the Senate?
Well, first, there's an identical provision in the House-passed defense authorization bill and in the Senate committee-passed authorization bill that implements, upon the certification of the Secretary of Defense, the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell with this 60-day review period. So it's in the Senate-reported bill, and so it's there until the Senate does final passage and sends it to conference, or there's an amendment to remove it, but it is part of the legislation that is on the books right now. So I think that's piece number one. Two.
Right, but we're seeing this effort to strip it out, and I'm wondering how far-reaching you think that effort is at this moment, right now, today.
Well, to do that, there's going to have to be a motion or a vote on the Senate floor. So proponents of stripping it out and opponents of stripping it out would go head-to-head on the Senate floor.
Right, but isn't...
Let me also just say that I think that while we don't yet have the game changer in terms of an agreement on the defense authorization bill and inclusion of Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, I think the game is changing in the sense that we're moving to the phase of procedural hurdles rather than the will to get this done. And the administration's statement, really strong statement yesterday, Senator Reid's statement, saying that they are not going to stand for a defense authorization bill that strips out the repeal measure are really strong signals that people are moving to a phase where it's about procedures, not about the will to get this done.
So if I could just continue, then the Department of Defense has said from the beginning that its date for sending this report up to Congress is December the 1st. It's being discussed within the Department of Defense now. And then the last piece is, you know, I think it's always been the tradition of the department that they would prefer to resolve this issue themselves rather than see it litigated in the courts. It's now at the appellate level. There's been a stop-start nature to that. And so, you know, I think that creates an incentive for the legislative process to act as the Secretary of Defense and the President have requested.
Okay, and then can someone just look ahead to the new lineup in Congress with a House Republican majority and a narrowed Democratic majority in the Senate if it's unable to get done in this lame duck session? What is the outlook for DADT next year?
I think the prospects for next year are very grim and bleak, especially as you note, given the fact that the Republican leadership in the House is not supportive of the repeal. that will be very difficult. I think the narrowed majority in the Senate is less problematic, but clearly change of leadership in the House prevents very large problems. I do think that one outstanding issue is the extent to which, and this holds true for the period after the report is released in early December, how vocal the Pentagon is and what their posture is in the report.
All right, we'll take our next question now.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Shepherd with Washington Post.
Hi, everybody. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm traveling, and I apologize for getting on the call late. So you might have addressed this, Winnie, in your opening remarks. But could you talk about, go through a little bit of a tick-tock of what happened yesterday in terms of Gibbs and his comments in India and not listing Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal as one of the priorities for the lame duck, and the statement from the White House later yesterday?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that that the game is changing. And so what I was saying was Senator Reid had a very strong statement yesterday in the middle of the day saying that he wants to see the defense authorization bill brought to the floor with Don't Ask, Don't Tell in it. And then Dan Pfeiffer, again, a very strong statement and support from the administration saying that that they don't want to see Don't Ask, Don't Tell stripped out. I think there's a lot of posturing going on about which list and which issue is on which list, but we're getting to the point now where the defense authorization bill and Don't Ask, Don't Tell are emerging as something that this administration and the Democratic leadership in the Senate want to see done. And so rather than looking earlier in the day from Gibbs' comments in India, I would look to the later comments from Dan Pfeiffer showing that the administration really does care that this gets done and that they'll stand firm on a defense authorization bill in ensuring that includes Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal.
Operator, I think we have time for maybe two or three more questions. We'll take the next question now.
Your next question comes from the line of Charlie Keyes with CNN.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for talking to us. I was just wondering, as a practical matter, how important is the real substance of the report that will hit Gates' desk December 1st? And do you think there's any prospect of accelerating its release?
The department has been working on this report for some time, and December 1st seems to be the date that they have talked about submitting it to Congress. To do that, to hit that date, it means they're working on the materials right now. The military throughout this process has said it's important for them to be asked to have an opportunity for their input and to offer suggestions, recommendations on the actual implementation. So, you know, I think that we'll see the report on December 1st. This being Washington, the closer we get to December 1st, each side will probably be, you know, leaking snippets into the debate in advance. But, you know, I think December 1 has been the objective for the department and for the Joint Chiefs for quite some time. So I don't see it being late. Probably isn't going to be early. But this has been an important piece because they've said from the beginning they wanted to have a forum for offering their advice and making their recommendations on the implementation.
Operator, we'll take the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Carolyn Lockhead with San Francisco Chronicle.
Hi there. Can you hear me? I just wondered if you could, Winnie, especially you, comment on sort of the overall strategy from the beginning of the administration that has left this now hanging in a lame duck session of Congress with the Republicans coming in next year that will kill it entirely, as far as you can see. How did we get to this point with a Democratic president, Democratic Congress, and filibuster-proof majority at the outset?
Well, I think the last point is the one I'd tackle, Carolyn. We actually have had a Senate in particular where it's been nearly impossible to get anything done. And so the plan all along was to survey the troops and to study the policy. That process has been going on through the administration, as Rudy noted, for many months. That once that report was released, that's when the Pentagon wanted to see legislation move. It was critical that the House, controlled by Nancy Pelosi, and really the issue was one that Congressman Patrick Murphy was working on for a long time, a Iraqi veteran himself, brought up repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a freestanding measure, something that you could do in the House. But it was imperative, given the Republicans' ability to require 60 votes to move legislation in the Senate, that that the repeal effort be included in the defense authorization bill. So on the House side, we had Pelosi and Hoyer and Murphy working together to secure quite a stunning vote. And on the Senate side, Senators Lieberman and Levin and Reid in particular working together for the Senate Armed Services Committee vote. So then the repeal was then included in the defense authorization bill. I think that was the only way to move this issue through, given the fact that the Republicans, most particularly Senator McCain, was so clear in his desire not to let this policy go through. We're at this stage. You know, we tried several times to bring up the defense authorization bill in September, and again, Republicans obstructed that effort. We are where we are. We feel that we'll have just enough time in the lame duck to bring this forward. And again, the White House comments yesterday, Senator Reid's support are essential to doing so.
Thank you.
Before we take this last question, I just want to remind everyone that if you have any additional questions or need a copy of some of the materials that were referenced today from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, you can email me at M, as in Megan, Smith, at AmericanProgressAction.org. That's M. Smith at AmericanProgressAction.org. And with that, operator, this will be our last question.
Your final question comes from the line of Josh Gerstein with Politico.
Hello. I wanted to ask two things related to the process from here on out. One, do you think it's going to be necessary to move forward with an open amendment process for the NDAA bill, and doesn't that increase the possibility of, given the situation in the Senate, of some measures possibly being attached to it that might be unpalatable to the Obama administration, say on issues such as Guantanamo? And the second part of my question is, you said that you think people want to hear, senators said they want to hear more from the Defense Department. Do you think a paper report from them is going to be satisfactory, or are they going to ask for hearings? If so, was there enough time to do hearings, and would the combatant commanders be brought up for those hearings? Thanks.
Well, I think the tradition for bringing the defense authorization bill to the floor has been that multiple amendments have been in order, and the Senate works its will on those amendments. So in all likelihood, the two leaders are discussing or will be discussing next week what the terms would be for calling up the defense authorization bill in the Senate, but it would be expected that many amendments would be made in order. That is the tradition and the historical model. Second, in terms of holding congressional hearings and bringing in the combatant commanders, you could do that now, but under the way that the legislation is constructed, you could also do that during that 60-day review period. So there really is a clock that will give the military a full voice, give the military a seat at the table, so that the Joint Chiefs and the combatant commanders will certainly be able to offer their views on the implementation of the repeal. That's been constructed in the legislation, and I think it's recognized that they need to be at the table and have that voice.
Right, but if I could just follow up on that, the you said in the 60-day window. Well, the 60-day window clearly takes us into next year. Wouldn't a resolution or some action by Congress to disapprove what the Pentagon might want to do, wouldn't that be subject to veto by President Obama and therefore be a non-starter?
Well, the 60-day period does allow the Congress to offer its views and to enact legislation if it chose. You know, I think that the 60-day review also is a time to inform the regulations for the implementation of the repeal. So there are several mechanisms that are available to defense policymakers to fairly and properly balance military readiness with the rights of gay Americans to serve in the armed forces. So there are plenty of tools that are available for resolving issues under the provisions that are incorporated into the legislative repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Thank you all for participating this afternoon. We're going to have to wrap this up. But if you do have additional questions, feel free to email me at msmith@americanprogress.org. Thank you, operator. That ends our call today.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call.